Are you guys glad to be in the house of God this morning? God is good all the time. And I believe God is going to do some great things today in the second service. In the previous couple of months, I've tried to match what God is doing in the first service and the second service, but it doesn't work. So I'm just going to allow Holy Spirit, and we're going to allow Holy Spirit to do whatever He wants to do in this service. Amen. So Holy Spirit, we tell you, have room, move around. We expect angelic presence in this place. Yeah, our hearts are open in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today is going to be kind of a tough message, so I have two jokes for you. Okay, instead of one, I have two jokes for you. I heard about this pastor who was raising money for a new sanctuary. He told his congregation on Sunday, he said, if somebody could give $1,000, you can pick the next three hymns. Okay, the old lady in the back raised her hand and says, Pastor, I'll do it. He was so excited. He said, thank you so much. Go ahead and pick the next three hymns. She looked over congregation and said, I'll pick him and him and him. All right. And like I said, because this message is kind of tough, I'm going to do one more. Getting you ready for this. I heard about this lady who went shopping with her husband, and they didn't have a lot of money. So he said, could you please don't buy any new clothing today? But as she was walking by a window, she saw a beautiful dress, and she went and tried it on. And as she was trying it on, she was tempted to buy it. So she bought it and secretly hid it. Any of you been there? A couple of days later, her husband discovered the dress, and he was very upset. She explained to him that when she tried it on, it looked so good on her, Satan tempted her to buy it. So she couldn't resist and bought it. He said, why didn't you do what the Bible says? You should have said, get behind me, Satan. She said, I did tell him that. But he told me it looked even better from the back. You can clap your hands. Come on. It's funny. Mark chapter 9. We're studying the book of Mark chapter 9. And my topic is a little interesting. It's called Angry Jesus. Okay? Angry Jesus. And so let's open our Bibles to Mark 9:14, and we're going to read, because our goal is to know Jesus. Our goal is to be like Jesus, and our goal is to imitate Him in everything that He does. So let's open our Bible. We're going to kind of read, and I'm going to stop and explain some things. So we're going to read a lot today, if that's okay. Mark 9:14. Turn to your neighbor and tell him that you love him in the name of Jesus. Yeah, and tell him it's going to be good. So tell him, relax. Open your heart. God is going to move. He's going to speak to you. Yeah, amen. And if pastor says something good, just say amen really loud. It's, amen. Now, what is amen? Somebody said, I counted. You said a lot of amens the other day. I said, all it means is yes. I agree. Okay, so just say yes or amen. If I say amen, you can say yes, pastor. All right, let's go into it. Now, this is a story. Let me give you context. Jesus, last week we studied, he was on the mountain with three of his disciples. Peter, James, and John. Correct? Don't read it yet. Look at me. They're in the mountain. Jesus shows them a glimpse of his spiritual nature. He transfigures, Bible says. They see a glimpse of his glory, of who he is. He's a King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He's the creator of the universe. See, Jesus has two natures. He's Son of God and He's Son of Man. A lot of times when we read the gospel, we see Son of Man. But on the mountain, He shows them, there's more to me than meets the eye. I am the Son of God. And He shows them the glimpse of His glory. His light shines all over Him. His clothing becomes bright. And two people appear to Him, Moses and Elijah of Old Testament. And they also shine. So they have this awesome experience. At that moment, the disciples, the three, Peter, James, and John, they feel so good. They're in the presence of God. Peter wants to stay there forever. So this is what he says. Let us build three tents. One for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. He didn't know what he was saying. That was last week. Well, this week, now they're coming down the mountain, and they're going to meet a crowd and nine disciples. You ready for this? Let's go. When they returned to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd surrounding them, and some teachers of religious law were arguing with them. So they're coming down, and there's a huge argument happening. It's a little chaotic. Nine disciples are arguing, teachers of religious law. Why are they arguing? When the crowd saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with awe, and they ran to greet him. Now, some people said that Jesus had glory over his face. His face was shining like as bright as the sun. And so that's why they ran to greet him. But I don't believe that, because Jesus himself spoke to his three disciples on a mountain and says, don't you dare tell anybody about this experience till I die and I'm resurrected. So I don't think so. I think that when you see Jesus, you want to run to him and greet him. Right? It's like this. The disciples are trying to do something in the name of Jesus and they're failing miserably. And here comes the man and you're like, forget you guys. I'm going to see the real thing. So the crowd is running towards Jesus. You imagine the picture. There could be 1,000. There could be 5,000. They all left the disciples. They all left the religious leader and they're running to Jesus. I don't think they saw an aura around Jesus. I think they just got tired of the disciples and religious leaders arguing and bickering. And they're like, forget you guys. We want to see the real thing. So they run to him. Amen. I imagine myself when I am old and I'm going to die preaching my last sermon. And I'm going to sit down over there and I'm going to die. And then I'm going to be in heaven and I'm going to get a new body, right? And I'm going to be young. And then then I'm going to be like, where's Jesus? Paul is great, Peter is great, John is great, David is great, Joseph is great, but who do you want to see first in heaven? I want to see Jesus. Abraham is cool, I'll talk to you later, Abe, you know, but I want to see Jesus, right? He's God, he's the top one, you know, and then God later, I know, but first Jesus, and Jesus is God, amen. So I want to see Jesus, wouldn't you? Have you ever imagined what would happen when you go cross that line and then you're in this magnificent place? I do sometimes. I dream of this sometimes. I long for coming of Jesus. Especially when we have these attacks in Paris and people dying, hundreds of people dying, and this terrorism on the earth. And I want to, sometimes I long for heaven. And that's good. Bible says we should long for his return. However, we shouldn't get depressed longing. Amen. Our job here on earth is to loan, but also to work. We have an assignment. The reason you're on this earth, the reason you're still alive today, the reason Satan tried to take you out, but he couldn't, is because God has a plan for you. You're not done. Doesn't matter how old you are, you're not done yet. You're not done yet. God has a plan for you. He wants you to do something. So don't believe the devil who says, if you die, it would be better. No, it won't. If you die, you wouldn't achieve your assignment. Amen. And that's bad. God called us to achieve something, to do something in this world. You got to get your life right with God so you can achieve what God has called you to do. I'm preaching to somebody in Jesus' name. And Satan will get you addicted to different things. He'll get you distracted. He'll get you stressed and depressed so you can miss the purpose that God has for you. And by faith today, I hope you receive courage to say, I'm going to live and declare the goodness of God. I shall live and not die and declare the glory of God. Amen. Amen. And if devil comes to you and ever tempts you on anything, just say, I'm not going to die. I will live and not die and declare the goodness of God. God is the only one who will take me out. Nobody else. Not me, not Satan, nobody else. God in his timing. Amen. Amen. That's faith speaking. I want you to be filled with faith today. Amen. Not to be filled with, oh, poor me. No, faith. God honors and respects faith. Where are we at? Verse 15. When the crowd saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with awe and they ran to greet him. I would do it too. I'd be like pushing everybody. Because usually I do, then think. Do we have any personalities like that? Yeah, we first do, then we think. There are some of you who think and never do. Not me. Anyway. So, they ran to greet him. Next verse. What is What is all this arguing about? Jesus asked. One of the men in the crowd spoke up and said, Teacher, this is one of our main characters here. I brought my son so you could heal him. He's possessed by an evil spirit that wouldn't let him talk. So now we see a demon possession story. And this is the most graphically explained demon possessed story in the Gospels. It gives us a lot of details about this situation, this case here. And whenever the spirit seizes him, it throws him violently to the ground. Then he foams at the mouth and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast out the evil spirit, but they couldn't do it. So what were they arguing about with religious leaders? Well, they couldn't heal the man. So the religious leaders, have you ever been in a place where you were doing something and you were kind of failing? And then there's people who come to you and say, hey, see, you know, that's spiritual. You fail. You know, and that's what the religious people were doing. But the disciples couldn't heal this young boy. And the father says, I brought my son to them, but they couldn't do it. And look at this boy. This boy, I don't know, maybe 10, maybe 8 years old, from the childbirth was possessed by the spirit. So this boy would have seizures. He would grind his teeth. He would foam at the mouth. And the demon would take him down and throw him to the ground. This was not some mild demon possession where a person acts out sometimes. This was an abusive spirit that was living in this boy. Now, when you hear it, it sounds like epilepsy. And it does. There's, you know, and I'm not going to say today that all epilepsy is demon possession. But in this case, it was. In this case, it was. It was a suicidal, mute, and deaf spirit. So this boy was being abused by the spirit. Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy. I know that many of us have been abused by the spirit. Maybe we weren't possessed, but maybe we were oppressed. See, sometimes demon possession is not on the inside where it has total control. Sometimes it's just sometimes. It's temporary bursts of rage and anger and bitterness and unforgiveness, and you can't stop. You see what I mean? And so, but this boy was abused. How many concussions did this boy have in his lifetime? Now, this spirit would grab him and throw him down. In the NFL, if somebody gets hit 3, 4, 5 times, that's about all they can handle, concussions. This boy was probably being hit on weekly, monthly basis. He was being abused on weekly to monthly basis. He would hit the ground and he would get a concussion to the point where there's probably some brain damage. Wouldn't you agree? Right? And so the father, who's probably a good man, is trying to live with this. In the culture that they were living in, people, they called that a sin of a parent. So they would say, stay away from this family. This boy would be the last one. He couldn't go to school. He couldn't go to the temple. They had to watch him 24/7 because this demon tried to kill this boy. I feel sorry. I feel compassion for the father. And I think Jesus, angry Jesus, is you're going to see because of the compassion. See, I've told you this before, that God gets angry not because he hates us, but because he hates what sin is doing to you. He hates what the demons are doing to you. He hates what this world is doing to you. Killing, stealing, and destroying. And that's why God gets angry. That's why God gets angry. And here's proof. Because Jesus gets angry here. So Jesus says to them, you faithless people, how long must I be with you? How long must I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. Do you see some attitude in these words? This is not a sheep holding Jesus, you know. This is a Jesus who gets angry. An angry Jesus. See, people want to tell you what Jesus looks like, but the gospel really tells you what he is. Sometimes he holds a sheep, but other times he gets angry because you faithless people. Why did he get angry? You faithless people. How long must I be with you? How long must I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. Parents, if you have children, All right? If you teach your children to do something and then they don't do it and you just get so frustrated. Like, for example, we are struggling with our 3-year-old girl right now, Hadessa. She likes to put her clothes inside out. And we say, no, Hadessa, this is how you do it. And she always does it inside out. And then you say, go change. And she says, I can't. And you're like, as a parent, of course you can. What do you mean you can? Of course you can, right? And so the frustration of Jesus is not like he's angry for no reason. Watch his words. You faithless people, how long must I tell you this? It's like you tell your child, you're driving me crazy. How long? I've been teaching you this and you still say I can't do it. Right, Junior? How long must I put up with you? So it's a frustration. It's a holy anger. It's a holy frustration. Here this boy is being crippled, being abused spiritually by this demon, and you can't help. And you've been with me how long, Jesus says? How long have you been serving with me? How many times you've cast out demons in the past? You know that they've cast out demons by themselves without Jesus in the past. And I think the words of God to us today, this morning, is God is saying the same thing to you and me. He says, how long have you been a Christian? How long have you been saved? And you're still struggling with what you're struggling with. How long? And why are you struggling with what you're struggling? No faith. Or little faith. Or you're not using your faith. See, God is a God of faith. He responds to faith. He says later, and I'll show you this, nothing is impossible to him who believes. The reason Jesus is angry, because you are faithless people. It says, Jesus said to them, you faithless people. Is it speaking to somebody yet? Yeah. Amen. This is the kind of Jesus. You don't know this kind of Jesus, huh? Well, that's who he is. Amen. Let's put verse, so they brought the boy. But when the evil spirit saw Jesus. See, you got to bring your demons, your problems to Jesus. So they brought the boy. But when the evil spirit saw Jesus, it threw the child into a violent convulsion. And he fell to the ground, writhing and foaming at the mouth. Next verse. So again, right in front of the crowd, he takes the boy and just hits him. Concussion after concussion after concussion. Jesus says, how long has this been happening? Asked the boy's father. He replied, since he was a little boy. Now, I've asked this question. Jesus, why are you asking? Don't you know? Aren't you God? Aren't you all knowing? Why are you asking this man, this father, what was wrong with your child? Are you trying to embarrass him? What? If it's from childhood, then it's, I can't do it. But if it was a year, I can do it. If he was sick for 2 months, I can maybe heal him. Why are you asking this? Right? Legitimate question. Well, I think the reason Jesus was asking him, because he wanted to know his story. I think Jesus had compassion. He wanted other people to hear what was happening. Did you know that God will take your story, will take your test, and make it into a testimony? Did you know that God wants you to tell your story of how he saved you? Some of you are still embarrassed of who you were before you found Christ. But what you need to do is you need to say, look who I was, but look at me now. Yeah. Amen, amen, amen. Some of you are still embarrassed. Oh, I just don't want to invite people to church because they knew me who I was before. That's great. That's great. Invite them so they can see who you are now. I'm not the same I used to be. You're not the same you used to be. You got to understand that the power of God that's living in you, it's slowly transforming you. Amen. And so Jesus wanted to hear the story. He wanted others around to hear the story because there's a power in testimony. Is there? Is there a power in testimony? Yes. In the book of Revelation, it says they defeated the lamb, the dragon. They defeated the roaring lion who's seeking to devour. With the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. You know that verse? No? It says they have defeated the devil with the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Your testimony is powerful. Open your mouth and start sharing. When somebody says, how are you? Don't say good. Tell them your testimony. Say, oh, you want to know how I'm doing? Well, let me tell you what I was. But let me tell you what God is doing now. And then says, come to church with me. Check it out. That's it. Tell them your testimony. Some of you, people don't know that you're a Christian because you haven't shared your testimony. But you know what? You say, God used me. And God says, open your mouth and share your testimony. Don't allow your test to be wasted. Tell them your testimony. I'm here up front telling you how bad my marriage was. That's my testimony. Some people come to my wife and say, oh, you poor thing, he's talking about you. My wife says, that's my testimony. That's what we were. We're not like that anymore. So we can tell, you know. Tell them your testimony. And maybe you're not perfect yet. And maybe you're far from being perfect. But you can tell something little that the Lord has done. Don't just tell it to your pastor. And I love hearing your stories. Come tell me. Tell it to others. A couple of weeks ago, actually last Sunday, a young man came to me and said when he was sitting in a sermon, he felt like the hand of God just touched his face. And he felt like he was just light and lifted. That was his spirit. And he started praying and said, God, please save as many people in this church. That was a great testimony. It encouraged me. Well, that Sunday, last Sunday, 10 people got saved. And last Sunday, we had the highest attendance, non-special event attendance in our history of our church. We had 290 people in two services in our church. 10 saved, 8 babies dedicated. That's God. That's a testimony. From 30 and nobody wants to come, they stayed away by the hundreds. Now they're coming and it's getting close to 300. And this is not the end. God is going to do more things, but he's going to use you. Amen. You are not done. Listen, I don't care what denomination you are. You're not done. As long as you're alive, God has a plan for you. Roll your sleeves like I did and get to work. Get to work in bringing people who are far from God closer to Jesus. There's so many hurting people. Bring them to Jesus like this father did. If you bring him to us, maybe we can fail sometimes. Disciples, you bring him to Jesus. He will never fail. Amen. 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 Oh, 3 people are excited here. Praise the Lord. The rest of you are enjoying it, but you haven't learned yet how this church is. You know, it's okay to be loud. And if something's really good, I'm asking black people to help me out. You stand up, you know? Yeah, you stand up and get these white folks moving. Amen. Amen. Help me out. Amen. Yes, yes, yes. Where are we at? Are you guys enjoying this? Is this story coming alive to you? Amen. Well, let's keep going. I got 15 minutes left. How long has this been happening? Jesus asked the boy's father. He replied, since he was a little boy. Next verse. The spirit, here's the description, guys. Here's more. It's not that he's just seizing and throwing him down to the ground. It's not that he's mute and deaf. Look what happens. The spirit often throws him into the fire and or into water trying to kill him. Demon spirits are not our friends. Ouija boards are not our friends, people. These demons, they may look friendly. There's no such a thing as a friendly ghost. Ghost, even angel of darkness, takes an image of an angel of light. So Satan comes in the image of light, but his goal is always to kill, steal, and to destroy. Don't play with the devil. Rebuke him. Tell him to stand behind you. Amen. Tell him to stand behind you. We don't follow all that. We follow God. Safest way is follow God. The spirit often throws him into the fire or into water trying to kill him. Have mercy on us and help us if you can. This is some crazy. There's like probably more than one spirit in there. There's mute, deaf, and now this spirit is coming and since childhood, so there's a fire. This boy would run and try to fall into the fire. And this boy couldn't control it. Then if there was water, imagine the agony the parents had to go through. We have problems with normal kids. Trying not to have them run into the water and fire and onto the highway. But this is This is beyond. There's a spirit behind it trying to kill this boy. I heard of a story from Kenneth Hagin, a great preacher of faith, and he talked about his mother in his childhood. His dad left when he was very little, and his dad never came back and was never a part of his life. And the mother was left with four kids, and she couldn't handle all the stress. She couldn't handle all that, so she became mentally ill. And sometimes when she would go into these depressions and these mental crazy cycle moments, what would happen was his grandma, they lived with the grandma, his grandma would say, "Kenneth, you stand by the kitchen door. And when your mom tries to get in, you stop her, okay?" Because what his mom was trying to do, she was trying to go and grab a knife and try to kill herself. And so he says, as a boy, I had to stop my mom. And sometimes I would have to stop her and yell, "Grandma, come, help." Later on, when God healed this woman and she was okay, he asked her, he sat with her, he said, "Mom, what was going through your mind when you were, you know, trying to kill yourself with a knife?" She said, "Son, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't remember anything." It was not her. It was something else driving her. Satan's job is to kill, steal, and to destroy. Some of you are like, "Pastor, we don't have demon possession anymore." Oh, really? About a year ago, I read a story on the news. It was in a lot of news networks. There was a demon possession story in Michigan. If you want to search it, Michigan demon possession story, a social worker came into the house in Detroit, and she saw some things. Search it out if you want. She saw some things. Some kids were doing some weird stuff, even climbing on walls. Read it. It's a true story. Now that house has been bought by some kind of a TV show, Haunted. They chase ghosts TV show. Now they go after that and they bought that house trying to connect with demons, with ghosts. Demon possession is real today, people. Demon possession is here. But we live in a country that we hide our demon possessed, and we hide. We have mental hospitals. We have places that we contain people. We keep them away. But in the day of Jesus, these people lived among regular neighborhoods. They just lived around. And so people would call these families cursed. And Jesus knew what kind of pain this family had to go through. The spirit often throws them into the fire or into water, trying to kill him. "Have mercy on us and help us if you can." This is the Father, right? Watch the awesome response of Jesus. Watch this. Next verse. "What do you mean, if I can?" Doesn't Jesus just have a little sense of humor there? "What do you mean, if I can?" Jesus asked. Really? Yeah. This is something you would ask a doctor. "Doctor, could you help us if you can?" But you don't ask that to Jesus. "What do you mean, if I can?" he asked. Anything is if a person believes. I think demon possession is not the main topic of this scripture. I think it's this verse. Anything is possible if a person believes. So, hallelujah. Yes. Amen. I think if anything God wants to tell you today and me today, he wants to say, stop doubting me, start believing me. Stop doubting me, start believing me. And listen, it doesn't matter how low you are. It doesn't matter how your life is turning out right now. Anything is possible. Is your marriage struggling? Anything is possible to him who believes. If you believe, you'll act differently. Are you struggling financially? God is saying to you, anything is possible if you believe. Are your kids going crazy? Anything is possible if you believe. Are you looking for a better job? Are you trying to start a business? Anything is possible if you believe. This is the key today. I think don't be spooked by the demon possession thing. Because I'll explain to you, demons are not that powerful. He who is in us is greater who is in this world. He who is in us overcame death and hell. Amen. Amen. "What do you mean, if I can?" I see some attitude of Jesus. I like it. I like it because sometimes I got some attitude. And you got some attitude. And it's, "What do you mean, if I can?" Jesus says. "Don't put this on me." He says, "I can, But do you believe? Notice Jesus didn't just say, okay, there's a crowd, enough is enough, let me just cast out this demon out of this boy. He said to the Father, do you believe? Anything is possible if you believe. See, a lot of times we don't receive from God. It's not because God, it's because us, guys. We're just such a shallow Christianity type. We're just, you know, we're safe Christians. We don't really pray for healing anymore because what if they don't get healed, right? I will get embarrassed, right? I remember many years ago we were as a church fasting and I was sitting there kind of all weak and tired. You know when you fast on the third day, you're so tired. And one of the Pastor Iva, how many of you know Pastor Iva from Center of Life? Yeah. Her daughter, Michelle, was diagnosed. She had blood coming out of her nose and blood coming out of her ears. She went to the hospital and they found something on her brain. There was dark spots on her brain. So they said, we gotta do like a bigger test, you know. And so as we're fasting, I have no energy. I don't know if I even believe God because I'm so hungry. You'd be surprised how much food has an effect on our life, guys. You'd be shocked how big it has a hold on us. And you need to fast to see what you love more. And I bet you'll realize you love food more than you love God during that time. I'm telling you. That's how I felt. I was like, forget this fasting thing. I don't know if you even need it. I'm just so hungry. And so I'm sitting like where Tom is sitting and Zach. And I'm sitting there and Pastor Iva says, Alex, can you come and pray for my daughter? She brings her out, says, tomorrow she's going to the doctors to get, you know, more scans, brain scans and things like that. And I'm just like, are you kidding me right now? I have no energy. I have no strength. I have nothing. And I came out, and my prayer that was the most pathetic prayer I've ever prayed, guys. You know, sometimes you can say a nice prayer, but at that time, I was just so hungry. And had no energy. I didn't know what I was saying. When I sat down, I was like, I was ashamed because of my prayer. It was so bad. It wasn't that bad, but you know, when you're hungry and the devil says it's so bad, you call yourself a pastor and you pray like that, you know? And the next day, we come in for the fourth day of fasting, and I'm even more hungry. And we're fasting, and this was at noon o'clock, served 12 o'clock. We had a 12 o'clock service and a 7 p.m. So people who couldn't come at 7 came to 12 o'clock service. And as we're sitting there, and we're not even praying, we're just sitting. Somebody's saying something up front here, encouraging us, keep going, guys, keep going. And we're just sitting. 4 days, you know. And it gets easier, actually, on the fourth day. Yeah, it's the first two. It's like, oh. And third one, yeah. And so I hear a loud voice coming from that door, somebody running and yelling like, ah, something happened, like something big happened. Well, it was Pastor Iva yelling because she just got off the phone with the doctor. Michelle was at the doctor. She just got off the phone and we said, what happened? And she said, she just went to the doctor. They took a scan and they found zero, zilch, nothing on her brain. Now, and she says, the doctor said exact same words, Pastor Alex, that you spoke in your prayer. And I was like, I don't even know what I said because I was just blabbing. It's totally, guys, I totally cannot claim nothing. From that day on, she's still alive today. I mean, she's a young woman, had 6 kids or something. She's still alive today. She has never had that problem again. God has healed her. We serve a mighty, healing, powerful God. And if I told you more stories of what God has done, but God wants us to believe, and even though we have little faith, he says, if you had a faith of a mustard seed. Mustard seed in Israel was the smallest seed they knew in agriculture. Mustard seed, it doesn't take a big faith. Small faith can move mountains, but that faith has got to be activated. The disciples had the faith, it wasn't activated. If disciples didn't have faith, they wouldn't come to the boy and try to cast out a demon out of him. They had faith. They've done it before. Their faith was not activated. Is your faith activated today? I'm going to talk about it. You've got 3 minutes to tell you. Amen. What verse? So the father instantly cried out, I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. What was he saying, guys? Jesus says, it's not my faith. No, don't you dare put it on me. It's your faith. You are in charge of the boy. See, as a parent, you have authority over your family. As a parent, you have authority over your own house. Sometimes you cannot cast out a demon because you don't have authority over the other person's will. Jesus is not going to go and break your will. Maybe you want the demon inside of you. Who knows? Some people are crazy like that. But Jesus says, if you can believe, anything is possible to the Father. And Father says, instantly cried out. He cried. He was just, Lord, I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. What is that? What does that mean? Lord, I believe, but help me overcome. It means, Lord, in my heart, I believe, but my mind. How many of you can say that? Lord, I believe in my heart, but just my mind. It's just so hard to believe. It's just, I'm a rational person. I went to college, and they taught me to think critically. And especially in faith, they told me that all that stuff is crazy and nonsense. So now my mind is fighting against my heart, my spirit, my soul. So he says, Lord, help me. And I think that should be the cry of our heart today. Lord, I do believe, but help my unbelief. Meaning, my faith is not good enough. I need your help. I need your help. I think a lot of us are like this man. Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Next verse. When Jesus saw that the crowd of onlookers were growing, so now the crowd is getting bigger, he rebuked the evil spirit. This is what he said. Listen, you spirit that makes this boy unable to hear and to speak. I command you to come out of this child and never enter him again. Amen. So Jesus, again, he is not mad at the kid. He's not yelling at the kid. He's talking to the spirit that's controlling his mind. This demon spirit is controlling his mind. And he says, come out of him and never enter again. Demon spirits are spirits without a body. However, on this earth, if you want to do something or influence something, you need a body. Now, I believe personally that demon spirits are those who lost their bodies. They had a body before, some sort, but they lost it in war that was in heaven. Okay? In the Bible, it talks about that there was a war in heaven, and Satan and his angels fought Michael and his angels. And then there was no room for Satan in heaven, so God cast him out to like the second heaven. You hear what I mean? And so when there was war, did you know that angels carry swords? Why? Why? Well, now this is not Bible, but it's based on Bible. Can I just give you kind of an insight so you know about demons? So you're not scared of them, okay? I think when there was war, you cannot kill a spirit. But in heaven, we're going to have bodies. Did you know that? Heavenly body. So what I'm speculating, so don't make this a theology. But when there was a war in heaven, I speculate that angels of God were able to use their swords upon the angels of the, or whatever these spirits were, whatever these soldiers of Satan were. And they were able to kill their bodies. But you can't kill a spirit. So now you have a spirit and no body. And now these spirits, they're mad because they can't do anything. They're these little ghosts. They're little things, and they're trying to possess something. They can't even possess pigs and animals. Some of you are like, blasphemy. Well, I'm not telling you to use it as theology. I'm just trying to think deeper and see where this all comes. Because we know there's fallen angels, and they're different than these spirits. And these spirits are not too big. Okay, they're not like you and I. They're not like angels. They're small. I believe they're like flies. Why? Because I get that from the Bible, where Jesus one day was called a prince of flies, a Beelzebub. Beelzebub is a demon. This demon is a prince of flies. In the movies, you've seen when people get possessed, you have flies coming, right? Where do you think they get that? From the spiritual world. Even unbelievers, even witches and all these Satan's worshipers, they can see something. Satan shows them images, okay? That's why one person could be possessed by 6,000 demons. Did you know that? In a story of a legion man was possessed by a legion. Remember, Jesus cast out a legion out, and he goes, and these things go into the pigs and kill the pigs. How can so many 6,000 demons live in a man? Well, because they're small, and that's why you shouldn't be afraid of demons. If you are walking with God, you should not be afraid of them. If you are like the seven sons of a priest who tried to cast out demons in the name of Jesus, who Paul preaches in the book of Acts, remember that? And the demons attacked him and ripped his clothes off, and he ran out naked. They ran out naked. So demons are powerful, but if you have Jesus Christ living inside of you, then you have the authority over any demonic power. Amen. Come on, somebody. And so Satan just wants to be feared, but God wants to be believed. And so whenever you feel the demonic presence, you don't have to be afraid. You can say, in the name of Jesus, you need to leave. That's it. I take authority. This is my house. You cannot be here. You don't have to have demon knocking on your kitchen cupboards. You don't have to have demon opening and closing the door. You don't have to have nightly chills and wake up in terror and fear. Why? Because you're a believer. Are you right with God? If you're right with God, you have the authority of the believer. Am I preaching to somebody today? They are flies, and you need to command them. If you have terrorizing dreams, you need to command them, blow on them, and in the name of Jesus, they gotta go. You as a Christian, God has given you the authority. I teach this to my kids. I said, don't cry at night, don't come running. You know, take authority in Jesus' name. And if you can believe how powerful the grace in you, oh my goodness, if you can believe it, and if you can only believe how great God is in your life, guys, you will accomplish. Jesus, nothing is impossible. I need you to pray in the spirit right now inside, because something is happening. I can feel there's a shifting, there's moving. There's an Owa out war. God is trying to set us free. Whatever the thing is in our life that's binding us, that's controlling us, God wants to set us free. We plead the blood of Jesus upon this building. We plead the blood of Jesus upon every ear, every heart that's hearing this message today. Father, in the name of Jesus, set captives free. This is your message. This is your time. There's no other time like this. May nothing unholy stand. Angels of the Lord, I pray you take charge in this place. Draw your sword and do your work in this place in the name of Jesus. Move, Holy Spirit. No more captivity. No more captivity. Freedom. God is calling you to be free. Whatever that addiction demon is coming and holding you down, I command you to be free in the name of Jesus. That lost spirit, I command it to free you in the name of Jesus. Oh, that anger, that jealousy, that wrath that you're dealing with, I command it to be gone and never come back in the name of Jesus. Whatever that lust thing that's controlling your mind, I command it to be gone in the name of Jesus. The secret things, I command it to be revealed and everything to be put back into its place. I call the order in your body, soul, and spirit in the name of Jesus. I call the order of God upon this place in the name of Jesus. Come on, receive it, receive it, receive it. I call the blindness spiritually to come off you. I call whatever is blinding you to the things of God. Some of you are like, yeah, I come to church, it's exciting, the jokes are good, but I don't get it. I command that blindness to come out of you in the name of Jesus. I speak freedom. I speak deliverance. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, that was good. That was good. Then Jesus saw the crowd of onlookers growing. He rebuked the evil spirit. Listen, you spirit that makes this boy unable to hear and speak. Whoever has kidneys hurting you, in the name of Jesus, receive your healing now. It's faith. It's by faith. Take it. Take it. Listen, you spirit that makes this boy unable to hear and speak, he said. I command you to come out of this child and never enter him again. Then the spirit screamed and threw the boy into a violent convulsion and left him. Left him. So the boy began to speak. The boy began to hear. And remember, Jesus commanded never enter him again. When Jesus says never, the demons obey. When the judge says you'll never be in prison again, ever. When the king says that, then it's never. The boy appeared to be dead, though. And murmur ran through the crowd as people said, he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and helped him to his feet. Oh, 10 years of torture, of spiritual abuse. But Jesus took him by the hand and helped him to his feet. As a parent, I can somehow, at least a little bit, try to feel what this dad felt at this moment. And he stood up and he was healed. And he was able to speak and he was able to hear. Thank you, God. So many people are suffering. As a pastor, I hear so many pains. And sometimes we're like those disciples, the nine. Just powerless. Just powerless. God, and Jesus was upset. The reason he was angry with them, because they've done it before and they chose not to believe this time or not activated faith. Afterward, when Jesus was alone in the house, his disciple asked them. So they didn't ask him in front of everybody. Don't ask these kind of questions in front of everybody. You might not like what his answer is. But why couldn't we cast out that evil spirit? Jesus replied, this kind can be cast out only by prayer. Oh, really? By prayer? Well, it could mean two things. One is they didn't even pray before they tried to cast out a demon. Why? Because they seen Jesus many times not even pray and cast out a demon. So Jesus would come up and somebody would ask him, can you please heal or cast out a demon? Jesus wouldn't pray. Did you know that? He would just say, rarely he would pray. Remember? Sometimes he prayed just for the crowd's sake. Remember when Lazarus was dead? The Bible says he prayed, but only for them to hear what was going on. But usually Jesus didn't pray, so they watched him never praying. So they came and says, come out. And the demon said, no. And he left at them, right? But what they didn't realize is that Jesus would spend nights in prayer in the mountains. And every time Jesus would invite them to come and pray with him, what would they do?
Yes.
Sleep. Sometimes we pray in our beds, don't we? Guilty. Lord, help. Thank you for this day. Thank you for your blessing. That's how we pray. Guilty. Everybody, I know that. Guilty. And God is trying to, I think if two things God is trying to tell us today is, number one, anything is possible for him who believes. So you got to stop this negative thinking and negative speaking in your life. I can't. Amen. Number two thing God is trying to tell us today is that the reason you have no power as a Christian is you don't pray. We don't pray. This morning in our first service, as we were worshiping, I felt like the ground I was standing on, and it's not spooky. I hope you don't get spooked out. But I just had this revelation that I was standing on this something sticky, oily, something, and it was up to my like ankles. Yeah, just a little bit. And I was like, Lord, what is it? He says, that's your people's prayers. That's how much they pray. Right there. That's how much oil and anointing we have. And God says, I don't want to just save people. I want to show off in a miraculous way. I don't want to just save people. And that's, listen, number one thing God does is save. So we're never going to diminish that. No, we don't diminish that. But God says, I have more. I want to do more. I want to deliver people. I want to set the captives free. I want to show my power. Listen, we live in the last days. The world is getting crazier. Hundreds of people killed in Paris, innocent. We need the power of God. The Bible says as the earth gets darker and darker, God's light will shine brighter and brighter. So this is not the time to say we are defeated, we lost. This is the time to raise our heads and say, come, Lord Jesus, come. Show off. I think that's what God is calling us. Two things, faith and prayer. In Ezekiel saw a vision like that, and he said he saw some people standing in water, which is, represents the Holy Spirit, up to their ankles, some up to their knees, some waist high, some chest high, and some were swimming in it. And God says, how much do you want? Do you want this little? Well, then that's what you get. You want this much? Do you want it completely cover you? Then God can do something. It's all up to you. Jesus says, what do you mean if I can? That's the answer to us. God, why aren't you doing this and this and this? God says, what do you mean I don't? It's anything is possible if you believe. Christians, we got to get this I can't vocabulary out of our life. Because devil lied to us too many times. You cannot live a Christian life. Because where you grow up, you can't live a holy life. You always got to be in sin. What do you mean I can't? You can never get out of debt because of your family and past and history. What do you mean I can't? I can never pray for people who are sick. What do you mean you can't? We'll never be married. What do you mean you won't? Anything is possible to him who believes. Do you believe? God is setting you free. No more fear. No more fear. No more sickness. No more pain. Whatever you're struggling with, receive it. There's a holy anointing in this place that God is doing. And it takes faith. We will no longer be a church that just, you know, safe. No, we want to go deeper. God has been talking to me. And this is scary for me too as a pastor. He says, there's more. Show your people there's more. And that's why you got to get to know Jesus if you want to know if there's more. Amen, amen, amen. So last verse, verse 29, guys. This message was totally different than the first one, right? Totally different because God has something different. Jesus replied, this kind can be cast out only by prayer. Jesus said, the reason you couldn't cast out this demon is because you don't pray. What does prayer do? Prayer activates our faith. See, we already have the faith, but prayer is like putting water upon a mustard seed, right? What did Jesus teach us in prayer? I'm almost done. 1 minute. Sorry, guys. 1 minute. What did Jesus teach us in prayer? He said, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So you want the will of God that's in heaven for your life, for this church, for this city, for this nation, well, you got to pray it in. You got to water some of those mustard seeds that's inside of you. See, prayer is more powerful than we thought. It's talking to God, but it's also having our faith activated. It's God pouring His love, His grace upon our mustard seeds, and they begin to grow. Prayer. So in January, we're going to do something different. We're going to start praying more. We're going to have some Wednesday nights. That's all we do. We come and pray because we want to be prayed up. Now, exercising, lifting weights is not easy. That's what prayer is like. It's like lifting weights. It's not easy. But then when you have to lift something, you don't have a problem because you've been exercising. So we need to exercise in prayer. So we're going to do some fasting and prayer in January. You need to be here. You need to invite your relatives, friends. You need to invite people who are far from God to come so they can hear the good news, so they can be transformed, and we can bring this city closer to Jesus. Amen. 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 Clap your hands and bless God. Amen. I want everyone to close your eyes. And I want to ask you, do you know Jesus? Is He the Lord and Savior of your life? I'm not asking you if you're a good person. I'm asking you if Jesus, if you have exchanged your sins for Jesus' perfection.
Have you gave your life? Have you opened your heart to Jesus? Maybe you did a long time ago, but then school and work and family and problems kind of drew you out of, like pushed you away from Jesus. You slid back a little bit away from Him. Well, today I want to give you an opportunity to get right with God, to come home to your Father and open your heart and say, Father, I'm coming home. Or maybe you've never gave your life to Jesus, never. And today you felt something. You didn't understand maybe all that I was talking about, and you didn't have to, because you're gonna grow in your knowledge of God. But today you felt something. You felt like God was tugging at your heart and saying, you need to be right with me. So I'm gonna count to three. In a count of three, if you would like to give your life to Jesus, please raise your hand and raise it high so I can count you. I'm not gonna invite you to the front, but where you are, where are you at your seat, I'm going to pray with you. So I'm going to count to three. One, two, three. Please raise your hand. One hand, two hands, three, four. Four hands. Thank you. Is there one more? Four hands. Amen. Come on, church. Four hand is more than enough. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pray with me. Say, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I want to live for you. Come into my heart. From this moment on, I believe that my sins are forgiven. I'm saved. I will live a new life. And I will tell others about Jesus. In the name of Jesus, amen. Come on, clap your hands and bless God.